This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
It is 7:46. Joining us now is Lieutenant Colonel Ayal Dror, founder and commander of the IDF's Good Neighbor Project. A very, very good morning to you. Hope you are well. Quite the week that it has been. It's just a remarkable, remarkable news week. Let's just start with Israel's attack on the leadership of Hamas in Qatar. What do we know about this?
So good morning, Howard, and good morning, everyone. Well, it's historic days. Basically, this last 2 years is historic period of time in the Middle East, but most definitely the first ever attack in Doha, in Qatar. And I think the consequences of the attack is not has been not published yet. There is a lot of rumors, a lot of news, a lot of misinformation. I think it will take some time until we will know exactly who lost his life. There is now, it was like funeral for six of those terrorists, but it's not the leadership, it's people that were with them. I hope and pray that some of those big terrorists has been eliminated. However, what is so important is, I think, the message for Hamas and for Qatar: you cannot hide anymore, and it's important to understand. Basically, Israel was fighting and eliminating the head of Hamas in Gaza, but not outside Gaza, except Haniyeh and Salah al-Arouri. I think that those people, the foreign leaders, was living in fancy hotels in Qatar and Turkey, and now they should be afraid for their lives. And the strategic message is also for Qatar: we are paying our eye on you. You cannot play a double game anymore. So I think that the message has been intercepted by the Qatarian. You can see the pressure on them with the meetings that they're doing with the Arab countries. I will not be excited from that. I remind you that, for example, Egypt that condemned Israel, and say and the UAE that condemned Israel, they hate Qatar. Qatar is the Muslim Brotherhood. Yes, they are both Sunnis. However, those are radical. And I will just explain your audience, for example, that President Sisi has been arrested, President Morsi, which made the revolution in Egypt back at the Arab Spring. Mm. He was the Muslim Brotherhood. So I'm not getting excited from this meeting, though there is plenty of hate between those countries. And I think that we could have seen the panic in Qatar. I think it's important to the continuation of the negotiation and the understanding of the Middle East. It's a warning shot for Qatar. Stay with your business. Don't put your hands on Israel interests. For example, don't go with Syrian regime, Assad regime, because we will hit you again. And the first strike is always the hardest one. After you hit once, you can hit twice. I think it was an important message for the Qatarian and for Hamas.
Is it relevant, do you think, at the funeral? We don't really know who was buried, but at the funeral for those that were killed in this attack, that the Qatar's emir was present. He was in attendance. Do you think that is relevant?
First of all, you can understand and you can see the good relationship. It's a symbol for the relationship between Qatar and Hamas. And we have to say it loud and clear: Hamas is the country that sponsored, one of the countries that sponsored Hamas. Qatar is the country that sponsored Al Jazeera. Hamas is spread, Qatar is spreading hate all over and making Hamas propaganda, because when Hamas speaking about starvation in Gaza, the voice out to the world is Al Jazeera, Qatar. So it's just one more symbol, one more proof that Qatar and Iran, which is a little bit confusing, because those are Shiite, those are Sunnite, but it's a proof that Qatar is also one of the countries that's supporting Hamas, meaning Qatar is a country that support terror, brutal murderers, brutal terrorists, and spreading their propaganda all over through the Al Jazeera. I wasn't surprised that this guy, the Amir, was a part of this funeral.
Do you think that there's a danger that, well, maybe it's not a danger now that I'm asking asking the question, but do you think that there is a chance that Qatar will pretend less and be more resolute in its support for Hamas and hatred of Israel? And would that be a good thing or a bad thing if that were to happen?
So I think that Qatar at least will now calculate again its steps. We have to understand that Qatar is a very small country, only 300,000 people. Basically, there is the head of the Qatarian family. They are based on the money. The money gave them the ability to have influence on the Middle East. It has been already published that although the Qatarian family, royal family, is very angry about the Israeli attack, they are not going to skip from the negotiation. They will not so do so because they need their ability to have their influence. What I do think might happen, and again, put aside the declaration. The declaration in the Middle East is always talks, but the actions. The action is important, and I think that at least Qatar got like a warning shot about, you know, Israel now is calculating its steps. We are not afraid from Hezbollah. We are not afraid from the Iranian. We are not afraid from the Houthis, and we also do not afraid from you, the Qatarians. We are going to change the Middle East. We are going to make the Middle East more secure for the safety of our country, Israel country. And if you are the Qatarian, are in a country that threatening us, yes, not with your weapon because they do not have it, but with your money, we will hit you. So I think that at least they will have to calculate the strategy again. It might minimize, I hope that it will minimize the support in Hamas. I'm not so optimistic because, again, it's the same ideology, same agendas, but at least if they will calculate the steps, it might be important also for Israeli interests.
Let's shift to countries and take a look at what is happening in Syria, because there has been a development in that area. What is the latest in terms of Israel and Syria with regard to the tensions and some of those flashpoints?
So Israel, and I remind your audience, Israel has been catch some position in the demilitarized zone in Syria. It means that a couple of hundreds of meters from the border to the east, to the area of Syria, Israel captured some military position. This is because the concern of al-Ashara jihadist people, we already know that ISIS and other organization is serving under the flag of the Free Syrian Army of Ashara, and we cannot allow those jihadists coming inside Syria. It's not a secret that it has been talks, and I think that I think that also next week there is talks between Israel and Syria. So the negotiation between the two countries is ongoing. Yes, it was a stop because what happened in Sweda with the Druze population, the mass massacre, the brutal massacre of Shara people on the Druze community, which make a little bit stopped. But I do believe that dialogue will continue between the two countries in order to reach not to normalization, but to a security agreement, maybe something like we had with the former Syrian government. I do believe that Israel now, one of our most interest and concerns is to see, because it has been proved, even if we will make like what we can discount to Ashara, that he cannot control his own people. This is, by the way, their claim about the massacre in Sweden, that the people of Ashara didn't do that. It was other people with weapons, means you cannot control them. So I think that in any case and in any scenario, and this is something that probably been discussed, Israel might keep for herself the ability to attack presence of those jihadists if they will come closer to the border, because like I said before, Ashar proved to the world that he cannot trust his own people, that he cannot control his own people at least. So I do believe that in the next upcoming months something will happen. I will not be enthusiastic and exciting from the words that probably he will say in the United Nations, whether he will blame Israel, whether he will call for peace. Again, those people are masters in talking. The actions is always, like I always claim, the action is what is important. We have to see that they are not a threat to Israel. At the meantime, Israel activities inside those areas continues. We continue to protect our border, and in the same time, we continue to have the dialogue. Regarding the situation of the Druze in Sweden, I will just say that although it was like ceasefire between the Druze and the government, the Druze life is still bad. They still have like some siege on their area, humanitarian aid is not entering directly. They have some difficulties for that. And I do believe that it's time to the world to wake up. It's not Israel. It's the world that should wake up the hypocrisy world and to demand from Ashara to give the ability for its own civilians to live normal life.
Just before, we've got a few more minutes, and I just want to ask you as well what is happening in Lebanon. So we've covered Qatar, we've covered Syria. The Lebanese border, what's going on there?
So in the Lebanese border, we are continuing to see the same phenomenon that we have seen since the ceasefire agreement. Hezbollah is not tired from his abilities to threat Israel, and I will say to threat the Lebanese people, because their effort to continue to rebuild their abilities make under threat, huge threat, the Lebanese population. There is a lot of sounds and a lot of voices in the Lebanese population that blame Hezbollah, that because they're still keeping trying to rebuild their abilities, money is not going into Lebanon. From the Israeli side, of course, Israel continued to bomb and to eliminate the abilities and the chances of Hezbollah. Just yesterday it was in the Bqa, which is a strategic area inside Lebanon. We know for sure that this is one of the most strategic areas for Hezbollah. There are a lot of infrastructures for rebuilding an industry of missiles, and the tunnels, be huge tunnels, so it was a massive attack there. Israel will continue to enforce the ceasefire, not by UNIFIL or other joke, international joke, but by our forces. In the same time, we heard voices that the government of Lebanon claim that they will start to pick up the weapon of Hezbollah. I think that the next coming up month will be a case study, a very important case study to the abilities of Lebanon government. I'm not so optimistic with that. They will do some show off. They will claim that they are picking up weapon. This is why it's so important that the American team is here and coordinating those actions. But like I said, they need to start in any position. If they will start it and they will get more self-confidence, maybe they will be able to continue these actions in order to lead Lebanon to a better future. But again, from the Israeli point of view, until we will not understand that it is safe and we can stop like attacking and enforce, reinforce the ceasefire agreement and allow the Lebanese army, they have to prove us that they have the ability, they have
to be able to do so.
And they want to really do that.
Lieutenant Colonel Eyal Dror, thank you as always. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and thank you for the Israel Report this morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.